Hey there, welcome to the LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Matt Dumont, an LSAT teacher and tutor at the LSAT Demon and 3L at the University of Maryland. With me is recurring guest, he's back again, Michael Hill, a 3L at GW Law, who is crushing it. What's up, Michael?
What's up, Matt? I'm glad to be back. I'm wearing my shirt that I got for doing the last podcast. I'd like to tell Nathan my price has gone up now, so I look forward to whatever gift I'll get next.
The additional swag.
Yes, but it's been too long, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's so awesome to have you back, Michael. You're almost done with law school. I'm almost done with law school. Like, how crazy does that feel?
It's very crazy. The idea that we're pretty close to being lawyers is kind of scary. It's I don't know. It both feels like it went by very quickly, but also went by very slowly. But unlike undergrad, where like when I was graduating undergrad, this was back in 2013, I had no idea. I was not ready for the world. I had no idea what I wanted to do. Whereas now the nice thing with law school is I actually feel ready to be a lawyer. I'm sure once I start practicing, I don't know if I'll say the same a month into it. But at least as of now, I generally feel like I understand what lawyers do and I feel ready to go.
Awesome. What are you going to be doing after? Remind people what you're going to be doing after you graduate.
So I'm working at a big law firm in DC doing litigation. Luckily, I don't have to specialize for the first 3 years at my firm, which is nice because, I don't know exactly what litigation I want to do. I know just kind of I've liked everything that I've done with it. So, yeah.
So, sure. So you're going to be rotating through the different litigation groups?
Yes. Basically, and just kind of going and whatever type of, it's not a specific rotation like process, but it's kind of, you get to go knock on doors and track down partners that are doing the type of work you want to do. You get to check it out. And I mean, they also got to like you, so it got to be good work, but
sure.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that sounds great. And so we got an email here that I'm going to read, and I just thought you were the perfect person to bring on for this because you've been crushing it at GW, and we'll talk about how and why and what that looks like. Here's the email from listener F. And it says, "What's up, guys? Just sending an email from law school. During the first semester, you feel like your world is burning. And then during the second semester, it becomes easier / more manageable. One of my most significant thoughts / pieces of advice for Demon students is that the material is not conceptually complex. It's not a PhD program or difficult math problems. Law school boils down to a rule with exceptions or some multi-step test, which I think that you and I, Michael, we can both agree with. Like, it's certainly some complex things when you're talking about like maybe the minutia of why constitutional law allows police officers to do crazy things in the world. Mm-hmm. Did you take criminal procedure?
No, actually I haven't.
Good luck on that.
But I'm waiting for the bar prep to do criminal procedure.
Okay. Well, the general advice for those of you out there that in your future, when you are studying for the bar, if you haven't taken criminal procedure, the advice from my crim pro teacher was like, if you think the police can't do it, you're wrong. They can. That's the general advice. But anyway, so it's like this multi-step test, that kind of stuff. So the email continues. It says, the hardest part is understanding what matters and what does not. If you try to do everything, which most first semesters do, you think you cannot handle school. It takes until the second semester or some point in your law school career that you realize some stuff matters and some stuff doesn't. We'll listen in to hear your thoughts. Best F. And so there isn't actually a question there, but the question that was posed to me by Eric, the producer of all of the podcasts, was like, what is the stuff that matters? What matters in law school? How do you navigate, going in your first, your 1L year, your first semester, your second semester? And so, Michael, what's your experience at GW? Where are you? How are you killing it there? And then let's talk about what matters.
Yeah. So law school has been going well. I know we'll see when I graduate. I know I'm towards the top, I'm top 5% or so. And I think the big reason why I've been able to maintain a high GPA is my philosophy on what matters and what doesn't. And what it boils down to is your GPA matters and everything else doesn't, is kind of how I've gone through it.
But come on, Michael, there's so many prestigious things to do at law school.
There are so many prestigious things to do. But the thing that I think, because I dabbled with doing a lot of extracurriculars in 1L. And the thing that I've come to really learn is every extracurricular you do has a GPA cost, right? Mm-hmm. Because, or at least a potential GPA cost and the amount of time it's going to take. And basically doing things other than your normal classes is potentially going to take away from the GPA. And what I think a lot of people don't think about going into law school is being really intentional about how you use your extracurricular time. And is it going to be worth, you know, having this thing on my resume, is that going to be worth a drop in your GPA? And sure. From my perspective, it's never worth it, except with the caveat of potentially like law review. I think like your school's flagship law review, which I'm not on any journal. Your school's flagship law review is probably something that's worth potentially a drop in GPA, because that's kind of like the boom, like get you in the door extracurricular at some places. But yeah, for the most part, I only prioritize GPA, and I feel like that's only helped me. I don't know if there's anything, that's like my big philosophy of it all.
I mean, you're at the top of the class. And so mm-hmm. what you're arguing is, from what I'm hearing, is that is like the thing that matters is your GPA. And why do you think that? Why do you think that that's the thing that matters, Michael?
So, and it's like, I will answer your question, but I had a thought. It's like to relate it back to my LSAT studying days. I mean, I feel as though you're coming out of law school when it comes to employability. I think your GPA is the same as when you're applying to law schools. It's as if your undergrad GPA and LSAT score combined
right.
is the same as your law school GPA. It's like right. the thing that matters. And I was listening to a podcast.
At least for the first few years.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. This is specifically talking about jobs coming out of law school.
Right.
Which, granted, I, you know, take this with a grain of salt. I haven't even graduated from law school, but it seems like that's kind of one of the biggest, if you can set yourself up well with a job out of law school, obviously a lot of hard work comes with it. If you keep working hard, you're probably set up pretty well for whatever you want to do.
Right.
So I was listening to a podcast. This is got back when I was like a 1L going into OCI on-campus interviews between my 1 and 2L. And it was a podcast. I think it was the Thinking Like a Lawyer podcast. It was some second-rate non-LSAT demon podcast. I don't know what I was. I don't know. I was wasting my time. No.
What were you thinking?
What was I thinking? But they had on a person who had previously been a big law recruiter. And they're asking her, you know, a bunch of questions about OCI and what they look for in a law student's resume. And one of the questions was, do you like seeing extracurriculars like clubs and, you know, things like that?
Sure.
And the recruiter said, if you don't have a really top GPA and you have a bunch of clubs or you have a lot of extracurriculars listed, the first thought in my head is, why didn't you spend that time working on class?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never worked in big law recruiting, but for everything I hear is it seems like your GPA is the thing that gets you in the door. A lot of firms will have a floor GPA, depending on, you know, the school you go to. Every school, they might have a floor. And if your GPA is below that, they don't even look at you. You don't even get in the door. And so being the president of such and such club, well, it's probably a great opportunity. They're not even going to read that far down in your resume because they stopped at the number and the number wasn't high enough. And I think that having a higher GPA, if you can bump your GPA up a few, you know, percentages, a few points, that's always going to translate into better hiring outcomes than being the president of such and such club. I will say that, so when applying to firms, some of them had on their calls for applications, things that they were looking for, and they all said they wanted top GPAs. And some of them said law review and moot court preferred. So to the extent that you're thinking about doing something aside from law review, I think moot court sometimes can help you as well. But none of the applications called for people who did mock trial. None of them called for presidents of, you know, international law society or things like that. So I think that the number, I would think about your law school GPA as you think about your LSAT score and undergrad GPA when it comes to applying to law schools.
Yeah. And this is really interesting and really timely when we're recording the podcast, because the second to last week of March, a lot of the podcast stuff this week on the Thinking LSAT podcast and the Demon Daily have been about like soft factors. Mm-hmm. People have been like, hey, so what do I do because I don't have a great undergraduate GPA and I don't have a great LSAT? How do I pull up my soft factors? And Ben and Nate have been continuously hammering like the LSAT, friends, that's mm-hmm. your answer. And it seems like what you're saying is, you know, at least for the kind of career track that you're going on, which is big law, and a lot of mm-hmm. people going into law school, they think they're going to be big law lawyers. They think they're going to make the big bucks doing the big law things that you're at least walking out the door to do mm-hmm. is your GPA, like, period. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Now, with like a little bit of caveat towards some of these really particularly prestigious things, but like being the president of, you know, the Student Bar Association, no one cares. It's going to mm-hmm. be your GPA. Like, why didn't you get a 4.0? Why weren't you at the top of your class? And if being the president of SBA kind of shifted you off of that, then that was a tactical error, is what you're is kind of what you're inferring.
Yes, that is definitely my philosophy. And again, I said at the beginning, a caveat. I know, I think you said you might be like, I have friends who are, I have this one friend who's like Mr. Involved. He does everything under the sun. You know, I don't know if his GPA is where he'd like it, but he has a big law job that he got through networking. So sure. In no way am I saying this is the way to go, but I think statistically, if you want to maximize your chances of getting, I think, you know, this might be big law specific. I don't really know about hiring in other places, but sure. Getting your GPA up is like the number one thing you can do. And it's just like applying to law school. Don't worry about the soft factors if your GPA isn't where you want it to be. How can you differentiate yourself from, you know, someone who looks like you on the application and has all the same interests?
Being 5/10 higher.
Make your GPA higher than them. That's, yeah. It's the way to do it.
That's interesting because you and there's a person at Maryland who I happen to know, and I'm not going to reveal any names just in case, like all that kind of stuff. I'm friends with one of the people that I am pretty sure is going to be our valedictorian of our class. Mm-hmm. And that person is not involved in any student activities, mm-hmm. didn't even petition for journal, didn't do any of that kind of stuff, has just been killing it in clinic, like doing that kind of stuff. And getting the Calais awards like over and over and over again in like all the classes that person is taking. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Calais is, do you have Calais at GW?
We don't okay. have it.
Okay. So Calais is not at every school, but it's at many schools. And it's like this sort of notch on your belt, if you will, of being the top grade in a particular class. So if you got the best grade in Con Law 1, you got the Calais Award for Con Law 1, period. And so it's like it's like a bullet point that you can put on your resume if you Calais'd a couple of classes. And people are doing that. And this person, just to say this, which is crazy to me, it's still crazy to me, this person did not apply for a clerkship, but got headhunted for one and is now doing one even though they did not apply, which is just, and it's not like a state clerkship. It's a federal clerkship that they're just amazing at school. They have like well over a 4.0 and they're killing it. So there you go. Right.
And yeah, sorry to jump in, but I think you kind of made a good point that connects back to F's original email. Shout out to F, by the way.
Yeah. Good luck in school, F.
Yeah, way to go, F. But about how a lot of the stuff in law school isn't conceptually difficult. I think the big thing, the way that you get a good grade is by spending the time with the material. It's not necessarily the most difficult, but you have to totally understand it and you have to understand how everything connects to each other. And in that sense, the way you get good grades generally is by sitting down and spending a lot of time with the material. And what I always right. tell younger students who are asking
like
for advice,
you have to do
like,
the readings, y'all. You have to yeah. do the readings. Quimby is not a suitable substitute.
Yeah. And in my experience, so I love Quimby, but I would use it as a addition to I would do the yep. readings and then I would watch those cases on Quimby and read the Quimby for it. Essentially double reading. And that's the thing. If you really want to do well in law school, it's the same principles as doing well in the LSAT. There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. The only way is through it. And at the end of the day, when you're being graded, you're not being graded on whether or not you know the material. You're being graded on whether or not you know it better than everyone else in class. And the way you know this material better than everyone else in the class is to work harder than everyone else in the class and spend more time working on this stuff than everyone else in the class. And so as you go through law school, all of your classes are graded on a curve. You're always being graded against the other people in the class. And a lot of these
people the vast majority of places. There are some, of course, like there are some places that don't have grades at all. You know, your Yales, your Berkeleys, for instance, where it's like honors, high honors, pass, whatever. But for the vast majority of places, there is a curve. Even if it's different between your classes, you are in even at those schools that don't have a grade per se, you're still in competition with the other people of like who explained it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, in general, your grade is always dependent on how you did in relation to everyone else in the class.
Right.
And the thing that I found is everyone else in the class is spending all this time doing extracurricular activities. And I realized right there, that's my competitive advantage, is I'm not going to do those extracurricular activities. I'm going to take that time. You know, this caveat, you can't just take this extracurricular activity time that you're not doing and just do nothing. Use that, reinvest it back into the time you spend studying for classes. That's how you do better than everybody else. And then at the end of the day, you know, I just think that GPA is such a better, you know, thing to have on your resume than pretty much anything else. And so use your time towards that instead of the everything else.
Yeah, totally. And to speak from my own experience, rather than using the person who I think followed your advice, Michael, and is now like at the top of my class, I'm towards the top. I'm right on the cusp of like the top 10. And so like I've definitely done well in school, but I could have done better if I didn't work while I was in school, which I did. If I didn't belong to SBA, which I did. If I didn't belong to the Legislative Law Society, which I did. If I didn't belong to the Criminal Law Society, which I did. You know, like all these kind of things that I was doing that were superfluous and count for zero GPA points. I will say that to your point, I think there is some exception, and that is towards like Law Review Journal type things. Law Review at most of the schools, it's like the premier. It's like that's the one that the school puts forth as like the voice of the school in general. And then they'll have some sort of additional but specialized journals. Depending on what kind of clerkship you want to do, if you want to go into the clerkship route, journal is often required. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going towards that, Law Review and or journal is required. And some judges don't care as much whether it's Law Review or one of the secondary journals. Some do. And so like be aware of that. But it is kind of like the blue check mark on Twitter, like next to your name saying, you know how to blue book well, you know, you're likely a competent writer. It's these kind of things that give you, it's that is potentially worth the effort to do, especially if you want to do clerking. A lot of places won't look at your resume if you don't have it. It's not even preferred, it's required. To your point, also, moot court has often been raised. Trial team, which is so much more involved than moot court, at least at my school, is never mentioned, like ever, which I always think is really interesting, given how big of a deal it is, at least at my school, because we have a very successful national trial team. What about you? What is your sort of experience with that?
With what? With mock trial or
well with like what how have you experienced what's your sort of what's your knowledge about how useful those sort of extracurriculars are?
So I think you make a really good point. I think what everybody should do is, depending on your goals of what you want to do when you graduate law school, find out the people who go to those jobs, like what they did. And like Matt said, I think that if you really want to clerk, then you ought to be on some journal for sure. if that's what you really want to do. But if you know you want to be like a transactional lawyer, like something like that, I think you could skip journal. But that's the thing, is understand what it is that you want to do. And I think there's probably a lot of public interest employers that it might be difficult to get a job at if you don't have some at least history, whether it's groups mm-hmm. at law school or work in the past doing that. Let's say you want to work at the ACLU, but you have nothing in your history showing that you are interested in working towards civil liberties. That's probably not a good sign. Even a really high GPA with no history of that might not look great applying to the ACLU. So
how do you supplement that?
Oh, like while you're in school, if you're trying to be in the ACLU?
Yeah. So like, let's talk about that. How do we, just for like that broader audience, because I think we've acknowledged that GPA is just really, really determinative, especially for big law type things. It is as well with maybe journal required for clerkships, but how do you, like, what about public interest? How do we get towards that avenue as well?
I think the first thing I would do is look into what are you doing in the summers between, because generally everybody's working or doing something legal related, interning between semesters. If you really want a public interest job, I think you ought to look towards getting a public interest position over the summers. And Unfortunately, lots of times those don't pay anything. Sometimes I know GW will have a stipend that they award to some students who are doing public interest. And I'm sure a lot of schools have something like that. That you can
Maryland
apply for.
Has that too.
Yeah. But if you want to do public interest, I think I would really look at getting some sort of substantive public interest experience, ideally being some sort of internship over the summer or during the school year, if you can do an externship. Yep. I still don't know 100% the difference between an internship and an externship.
I don't either.
But work during school. Now, and I'll loop it back into my don't do anything extracurricular is I always recommend when possible, everything you do should either be for credit or getting paid if you can.
Yeah.
And so a good way to do that is getting internships/externships during the school year.
Okay. So let's talk about that. What kind of internships or externships did you do at GW that you felt were beneficial towards building out your resume, towards getting the job, the career path that you were looking for?
So I did an internship with a judge on the District of DC court. And I did that the summer between my 1 and 2L. And then I stayed on and continued that into, I guess, what I call an externship, my fall 2L year.
Sure.
So intern
for a federal judge or a DC?
Federal judge in DC.
Okay.
And that was a really good experience. And that got me, that's where I really learned that litigation is what I want to do. Getting to see the court, read filings, read briefs, things like that. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, whether or not that helped me get a position at my firm, it certainly may have. I don't know. And you might know better than me. I don't know how much employers really look at like what it is you do between your 1L and 2L year. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is as long as you're doing something legal.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is a place where you can start to, what it is you want to do later on, you can start to build your case for, you know, why they should hire you, why you're actually invested in that, especially if you're going to do public interest, especially if you're going to do government. Showing that you understand and are committed to the mission of whatever that organization is.
Yeah, I think a really specific version of this are people who want to go and, for instance, be a public defender, and mm-hmm. yet they have not interned at any type of like public defender office, whether it's like a local, state, federal, whatever. If you haven't done that and then you're applying to be like hired as a lawyer, they're going to look at your resume and go, why didn't you do this already? Like, do you know what you're signing up for? Like, mm-hmm. do you know what this job is? And someone like me, I worked at a prosecutor's office. They look at me and go, well, you clearly don't know what you're signing up for. You've been on the other team. And sometimes there's some animosity. I'm not saying like they're angry at me, but like they're not looking at my resume at the same way because I don't have the experience. I didn't do my summers at a public defender's office. So you really need to gear towards those kind of things during your summers, during your fall, during your spring, as internships or externships, whatever that is, in order to get that kind of experience. What did you, so you worked for a judge. What else did you do as far as like externships, internships, practical experience that you found particularly helpful?
So other than that, I did no externships. Because here's my other thought on externships. I think they're great, and I think they prepare you to be a lawyer better than class does.
Yep, but I 100% agree. 100%.
The tragedy is, at least in my experience, the work you do for one credit at an externship is far greater than the work you would do for one credit in a class. So as a GPA maximizer, I did my externship and I was like, wow, this is a great experience, but I'm not going to do any more externships because it's going to be far easier to take doctrinal classes and do well in those and get a good GPA. And that's where, and I mean, this is a totally different conversation. I think there's a lot of ways in which law schools need to be reformed as far as mandating clinical and extern experiences. Sure. But that's not the world we live in right now. And GPA is rewarded more than those. So that's a route I took. But that being said, this semester I am doing a clinic for half my credits as a clinic. It's called the Public Justice Advocacy Clinic at George Washington. And we do a lot of, help on civil cases as far as we'll do unemployment insurance appeals. We'll do wage and hour cases. We'll do name changes for transgender individuals. So it's a lot of good work. And I feel like it really is setting me up and giving me skills to hit the ground running as a lawyer.
Sure.
What I really like as a clinic is, I get 6 credits for it. I'm taking 12 credits total and I get 6 credits for my clinic. And so it is really good to put myself into it. I can spend a lot of time on it, but I also get a pretty good return as far as credits go.
Right.
Which I feel like externing did not do. Now, I know, Matt, you said you're king of the externships.
I have done quite a few. I did during the summer. My 1L summer, I worked at a prosecutor's office. And then my 2L summer, I worked on the Supreme Court of Maryland before it name changed. It was the Court of Appeals, but I worked for a judge there. And I definitely got my clerkship sort of through that experience. It was a great experience. It sort of led me to like, oh, I know how to apply for clerkships on this court now because I know what the work is. I can talk intelligently about it. I can speak intelligently about it. Maybe that's the better grammar. But and it that sort of like connection to the court, I was familiar with the judge that I ended up with. And it was just such a great experience that I wouldn't change for a minute. And then I have externed both my fall and my spring of 3L. Because to the point that you were making is that I get more out of these things by doing like practical, real lawyer things than sitting in a doctrinal class about something that I don't care about. Whether that comes back to bite me or not, for instance, on the bar, we'll see, because I did not take a bunch of bar classes. Mm-hmm. But I worked at the Attorney General's Office for Criminal Appeals and wrote an appellate brief that was submitted to the appellate courts in Maryland. And then I'm now currently working kind of like what you did. I'm working for a federal district judge as a judicial intern, and I've just been churning out opinions, which is, again, great experience and teaching me a lot of those kind of things of like, what is a 12B6 motion? I know it really well now. When I didn't necessarily know, I didn't know as much. I like knew in theory what subject matter jurisdiction was, but I've been dealing with dispositive motions on that for 3 months now. And so I have a much firmer understanding. So I've been doing a lot, but I've been doing them all for credit. And to your point, it is a lot per credit hour under the ABA. It's 42 and a half hours of work that you have to do in order to earn that credit at your school. And so over the course of my like 3 months, I have to do like 250 hours of work, which is essentially 20 hours a week at a job that I'm not getting paid for. And if you're not going to law school for free, you're actually paying for the privilege of doing. And so there's definitely some ups and downs there for sure.
And I mean, I think, you know, when you said you hope doing too many externships won't come back to bite you, I don't think it will at all. Because I think for everything I hear, I you know, if you, I think you'll adhere to your bar prep schedule, whatever it is, and I'm sure it'll be great. But
it's going to be great.
I think that somebody like you, I mean, what's nice about doing all those externships is I think you have a lot better idea of what it is to actually be a lawyer, like a day-to-day lawyer. And you're probably, and then you know you're going into this great clerkship, and then from there you can springboard to whatever, and you have a really good idea of what that's going to look like. So I think there's a pretty high chance that you will be a happy lawyer. You know, you'll get yourself in, you know what you're getting into, where you don't get as much of that experience in doctrinal classes. And so that's one of the downsides of the GPA-only approach.
Right.
The problem with the GPA-only approach is that, you know, you're kind of just reading books of what it's like to be a lawyer.
Right.
And so that's another way I think it'd be great if there was some way law schools were reformed to be more experiential. But that being said, until they are, I will still be preaching the doctrinals, preaching the get rid of everything that you can and just, you know, just focus.
Focus on what matters.
But I think that it's good to show people that like there's many different ways. There's no one right way. It's like you can do, and I mean what you've done a great job of is you've done all the extra stuff and you've listed all those crazy organizations you're part of. Not that those organizations are crazy. It's crazy how many you're part of.
But it's dumb. I shouldn't have done as much as I did.
But you're still killing it GPA-wise. But you probably had to work a lot harder than someone else who has the same GPA as you but doesn't do all those things.
Totally. Totally. And I want to just double down on that in that it was a lot. Like I would hold up, I mean, this is a podcast, so I'm not going to actually hold up my planner, but like my planner is a mess. Like I have to schedule in study time in between things that I'm doing. And like, that's real. And so I think being in law school is a test of like how well you project manage your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can make that easier on yourself by trimming the fat for sure.
Yeah. I think what I would just want a lot of one else to know is you don't have to do everything off the bat. And I came in thinking, I think a lot of people that go into law school are like the type A, they're like, if there's a competition, I want to do it and I want to win it. And as soon as you come into 1L, I know at GW, it's like pretty, I think they changed it. But when I started, it's like pretty quickly after you start, there's like the arbitration competition and then there's negotiations and then there's, you know, mock trial and then there's moot court and there's all these organizations that need 1L representatives. And it's just, there's a million ways to get involved, which is good. But I think a lot of law students feel as though if I'm not doing all of those, I'm falling behind.
Sure.
But looking back now, what I realize is you can do none of those and still have fantastic outcomes. And, you know, in some ways you might be better off than the people who are doing many of those. It is totally fine to do absolutely none of those. But I think the big thing is just be intentional about how you use your time and don't just kind of commit yourself to things left and right. It's fine to commit yourself, but going back to the beginning, understand that there might be a corresponding GPA hit. And if that's worth it to you, then you should do. It would be a bad idea not to get involved in that thing. But just like a better understanding of the costs and benefits of it instead of just this idea of, well, I'll just sign up for everything.
Yeah. So I think maybe the general advice that both of us are going to leave here spouting is that maybe it's a good idea to focus on your grades for your first semester. Get settled in law school. Learn what law school is. Learn how to do the thing that you're here to do. And if you kill it in your first semester, awesome. Great job. Continue that course. Maybe add in some extracurriculars if you think that the risk is worth it. But like, what matters here is the numbers. Just like applying to law school, what matters is the numbers. Ending or exiting law school, it's the numbers again. How do you get clerkships? How do you get the prestigious big law jobs? By having the GPA at the top of the class. You argued better than 450 other people at GW, however big the class is, because I know they're monsters, I argued better than like 180 other lawyers at Maryland. And because of that, they know that if they reach down and pick us, they know that they're getting someone who has done better already. Doing these kind of extracurriculars don't tell them that. They don't tell them the same kind of information as your GPA does.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that I wish I would have said, that when you ask why GPA is so important. And I think you're right. I think GPA is the only time where you are directly compared to all the other law students in your class. And so if you're an employer and you're just trying to hire the best person you can, what better thing to look to than this rating of how people are compared to each other? Well, let me just pick the highest ranked person I could get my hands on, especially if you're looking for jobs after 1L year, because, you know, at that point, you really have nothing other than your GPA. You might be involved in some clubs and stuff, but So as far as getting a good 1L job, if you can come out with a great GPA, that's really all you have.
So I just want to wrap it up with this idea, but I do want to caveat that amongst all of this, finding your tribe, so to speak, in law school, I think is probably really important towards being mentally healthy and having like sort of your study buddies. And sometimes people do that through these kind of extracurricular activities of joining, for instance, the Black Law Students Association or the Women's Law Center or whatever it is that's out there. I think to Michael's point, it's be purposeful about it. Don't throw spaghetti at the wall to be like, oh, I'm going to join six things. I'm going to have all this amazing resume bullet points, when the main bullet point that is there, the wrecking ball of getting your legal career going, is your GPA. And so if you join something, make sure that it's purposeful. Make sure that you know what you're signing up for. Make sure you know what you're sacrificing potentially, and make sure that it's worth it. There are amazing network opportunities in some of these organizations. Don't join six of them. Join one if you're going to join something, and focus on what matters, which is your grades.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another great thing is if you do join a club or something like that, make sure that it is, you're not just serving it, it is serving you, you know, and that being part of that club is making your life or your law school experience better, whether it's finding a group of friends that is going to help you do better in law school by having a study group or just having that support system. Like Matt said, there are some great networking opportunities. Like we have the National Security Law Association at GW, and they're often bringing in, you know, sometimes they'll bring in national security advisors to the president because we're just a few blocks away from the White House. And so if you're the president or vice president of that group, you're going to be the one emailing this national security advisor to the president to set up a time to come. And there's just some really cool networking opportunities that can only come from those positions. So there are some good things, but, you know, make sure it is, you know, the club is in some way serving you if you're going to do it.
Awesome. I think that's a great place to wrap up. The general sort of rule of thumb that I think we're walking away with is focus on what matters. The wrecking ball is your GPA, just like LSAT and GPA are the wrecking ball to get into law school. The GPA is the wrecking ball to get out of law school. And to F's point, we don't need to do everything. Focus on your grades. And then if you have the ability to add some stuff on top without sacrificing, go with it. Do it. Like, make it happen. Just be calculated, be deliberate, because that's what a lawyer would do.
That's what a lawyer, lawyers spend a lot of time doing what they need to do. And importantly, lawyers don't spend time doing things they don't need to do. Just be intentional with your time, and then you'll be headhunted for a federal clerkship. And that's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
If you'd like to be on the show, email daily@lsatdemon.com. If you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.